Tonight our session will start out with my father picking up from where we left off last night on catastrophes of the past. We'll be looking at events that happened between 700 and 800 B.C. in the days of Joel, Amos, and Isaiah. So we'll turn it over to my father now for that series.
Well, if you can just for a moment kind of pick up some things that you heard last night about the flood, about the division of the continents after the Tower of Babel, the destruction, the land of Arabia, and then what happened on the west side of Arabia, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we went into the period of the Exodus, 1500 B.C. And what happened all over the world, including Egypt, and what happened to the Minoan civilization. And then Joshua's long day, 50 years later, and how this is recorded worldwide as well. So tonight we are going to move now to 800 B.C. And I want you to know that the things we're going to talk about are very minutely recorded in history all over the world. And it means something when you believe your Bible just to hear some of these records. So if you will just listen, first of all, I am going to read from the Reader's Digest, February 1976, when the sky rained fire, which is a condensation of Emmanuel Velikovsky's works. And this is the way it starts. Several centuries after Venus had twice menaced Earth. That's at the time of the Exodus and Joshua's long day. Venus nearly collided with Mars. And Mars, being only about 1/8 the mass of Venus, was no match for her. Now, I'm going to slip over to the screen here and just show you what we meant. This is the sun. This is the earth. This is Venus. And we were studying what happened when Venus came like this in contact with the earth. And some of you, will you just notice what happens here with Venus and the shadow of the earth and the tail of the comet? Do you see the head with the horns? That's where you have the Israelites. They worshipped the calf. They said, that's what brought us out of Egypt, not God. It was that planet coming near. All right. In its orbit, it nearly collided with Mars. And this flipped Mars into another orbit, in a threatening orbit to the Earth. Now, I will read further. In the 8th century or earlier, would be Jonah's day. You remember Jonah? 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. They knew and could see this menacing body coming near. It goes on. In the 8th century B.C. or earlier, the smaller planet was pulled from its orbit and flung into a new path about the sun, one that threatened the earth. The annals and sacred books of antiquity record a violent turmoil in the sky as Mars drew near. The earth staggered in its own orbit. You know, as a heavenly body comes near. Again, as in 1500 B.C., cities collapsed. Earthquakes split, the surface. Men died amid geophysical upheavals. The prophets, Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, and Amos, record these catastrophes. And they are also described in Homer's Iliad. The effect of the close passage of Mars did not equal those of Venus, but they were great enough to shift Earth's axis and orbit again. The old calendar of 12 months of 30 days each, adding up to a 360-day year, was no longer accurate. All over the world, throughout the 8th and 7th century BC, calendars were reformed. And that needs some explanation. And we are going to read about this. How the Earth was moved out of its orbit into a longer orbit. Took another 5 days to make it orbit. Then, Mars returned every 15 years in that elliptic orbit. During one near encounter, at the moment of closest passage when the gravitational attraction between Mars and Earth was at its greatest, the Sun, as viewed by Israelites and as recorded in the Midrashic sources, seemed to hurry to a premature setting. We will read that tonight in the Bible. It dropped below the horizon several hours before it normally set. Now listen carefully. The Greeks and other nations and races observed the same phenomena and described it. And I want to emphasize, these are recorded in ancient annals of history. And Velikovsky was a historian. And he's dug them out, and you can read his scholarly works in two of his books, Earth and Upheaval, Worlds in Collision, and another one, Ages in Chaos. Although Mars did far less damage than Venus had some 7 centuries earlier, that's in 1500 BC, it now became a dominant, fierce god in the pantheon of man's heavenly forces. And whoever you may be tonight, this demands some reasonable explanation. How come in 800 B.C., all over the world, people began to worship Mars, which they had not done before? You remember, Paul stood on Mars Hill and preached. In its last cataclysmic approach, which took place in the spring of 687 B.C. In that year, the Assyrian king Sennacherib marched against Hezekiah, king of Judah, planning to capture Jerusalem. On the evening of March the 23rd, the first night of the Hebrew Passover, Mars unleashed a blast, and that is a Bible word that we will read from heaven. That according to the book of Kings, Isaiah, Chronicles, left 185,000 men of the invading army dead. The same night, the Chinese recorded a great disturbance in the sky. In the night, the bamboo books report, and they give the date, stars fell like rain. The earth shook. French scholars calculate that the event took place on March the 23rd, 687 B.C. To the Romans, March the 23rd became the festival of Terpsichore, a major celebration in honor of the god of war, Mars. In some longitudes, as Mars made its last terrible pass at the Earth, the rising sun dipped back below the horizon. this event, this retreat of the sun, was caused by a tilt in the earth axis. A tilt that nearly corrected the one that occurred a generation earlier. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degree it was gone down on the sundial of Ahaz is recorded in Isaiah. At long last, the heavens became peaceful. Mars was cast out beyond the danger range to earth, and Venus, which had assumed a dominant role in the heavens, soaring to its zenith, dropped back to become a morning and evening star, never again rising to zenith. Friends, those are documented historical records, or records that can be documented. All right, let's turn to the Bible. Now remember, our studies are about two books. God's book, the Bible, God's world out there, and history is really His story. And it is recorded in history, and it is recorded in the annals of the ancients, and it is recorded in the geological evidence that you can find all over the world that this happened. In Amos, which is a little prophetic book in the Old Testament, it says the word of Amos, who was amongst the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now look, no way can you take these prophecies, put them in your catapult, and shoot them up and say it was talking about something away up in the future. There are parallels, yes. This was prophesied 2 years before it happened. And because we have had blanks in our history, we have not caught the impact of what happened in the 8th century B.C. Then you glance quickly at your Bible and notice the things that happen. Fire begins to fall on Damascus in verse 3, Gaza in verse 7, Tyrus in verse 10, Teman in verse 12, Rabbah in verse 14, chapter 2, Moab in verse 2, Jerusalem, Judah in verse 5. Now look, friends, as we read this in the Bible, is there other proofs that this happened? Look, if Mars did come near the earth, spitting fire all over the earth, would there not be evidence of it on Mars? That was one of the things Velikovsky told them before we ever landed a space module on Mars. Let's take a look. And if you'd like to see it in a National Geographic, January 1977. Let's look what we find on Mars. Here is a canyon on Mars. I'm going to step over here. This is our Grand Canyon, 18 miles across, 1 mile deep. What kind of a canyon's on Mars? On Mars, it's 150 miles wide and 4 miles deep. Now, what tore that planet? Let's look at the mountains on Mars. Here's a mountain. Here's Mount Everett. 5.5 miles high. Look at the mountains on Mars, 15 miles high. Look at the mouth of the crater, 45 miles across the mouth of the crater. Now, a little later in Isaiah, we will read, God said, at the same time that I bring devastation by this to Sennacherib's army, he said, I am going to punish the high ones on high at the same time. And friend, it is there. The evidence that had happened, they photographed it, and they published it, that Mars has been torn to pieces, the red planet, devastated. It also has evidence that it was different than now. We could see a picture of, in this article that I held up, of where some object had plopped on Mars, like you drop mud or a stone in mud, and made these waves, and they believe it landed in permafrost and created this kind of surrealistic waves, like if you dropped a big rock in a mud puddle. And we're going to read in the books of both Amos and Isaiah, when God punished her with what he is talking about, and Amos said, it's got 2 years to go, that would happen even to the earth. And I want to tell you, friends, I am thrilled when I believe a Bible and the statements that it makes. And you can go out into God's world and you can see it. It's there. It's on this planet and it's on that one, Mars. Then just notice some of the other language in Amos. Verse 9 of chapter 4, I have smitten you with a blasting. Blasting. Verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. We studied that last night. Fire, terrible thunderbolts, terrible destruction. He said, it will be like that. 2 years before it happened, he predicted. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were firebrands plucked out of the burning because God was going to spare a remnant. Verse 13. For lo, he formeth the mountains, creates the wind. I'm hurrying down to the middle of the verse. He maketh the morning darkness. While it was morning, it gets dark. He treadeth upon the high places of the earth. Chapter 5, verse 6, seek the Lord, lest he break out like fire. Verse 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night. Do you remember what the historical records? Long before the sun set, it went dark. That's in historical records. It's here in the Bible. That calleth for waters of the sea and poured them out upon the face of the earth. And if a heavenly body came near, it would cause terrible tidal waves to rip over many portions of the earth. In chapter 8, verse 8, shall not the land tremble? And the land, it'll rise up holy as a flood, and shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. You saw material on Mars, the earth, like a flood. And God said it in Amos. That's what would be happening on our planet. And it shall come to pass, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. Friends, you cannot make me cringe by saying, you believe the Bible, I believe the Bible literally. And if it is recorded in other countries that at noon it got dark, I read the same thing in my Bible. And I will darken the earth in clear day. Then, in chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord of hosts, he touches the land and it melts. And it'll rise up wholly like a flood, the land will, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And what will it be like? Verse 7, chapter 9. It will be like the destruction in Ethiopia. Friends, the most devastated place on the face of the earth is Ethiopia. And I think, here, could I just show it in the Afar Triangle? This is at the end of the Red Sea. These are salt beds. The black part is lava. And it's been ripped to pieces. Hot. Almost what archaeologists call hell on earth. God said it will be devastation like happened to Ethiopia. Furthermore, he said it will be like when I brought you out of Egypt. We studied that last night. He said it will be similar to that. Plus, it will be like what wiped out the Philistines from Kaphtor. So we've got a vivid description of what this would be. Like what tore Ethiopia up, what destroyed Egypt, and what wiped out the Minoan civilization. As patterns, so you know, that's how it's essential that we understand what the Bible says. Now, let's go this time to the book of Isaiah, which was about 50 years later. And maybe that'll help you to understand why the Maya calendar is in a 52-year cycle of threatening danger. Remember, in Egypt, 50 years later was Joshua's long day. Now we're in 800 B.C. 50 years later, we have Isaiah. And what kind of destruction is he predicting? Now, if we can get the picture, the king of Babylon is threatening to wipe out Israel. Now, you listen carefully, because there is another power that is building arms today to wipe out Israel. And you're going to read from Isaiah, anybody that tries to do what Sennacherib did will get the same treatment as Sennacherib. I will read that to you out of the Bible. So if you want to know what's going to happen when Russia and her allies come down to wipe out Israel, which they're threatening every few days to do, you know what it'll be like. God told you. And you read it and heard it from the Word of God. Now, before I read in Isaiah, I want to read one more record from a Reader's Digest, August 1977. The fire came by. And you have a picture there on the screen. Let me read. Shortly after dawn on June the 30th, 1908. A blazing cylindrical object swept across the sky of central Siberia. Then at 7:17 a.m., the earth shuddered under the impact of an explosion so cataclysmic that the shock wave were registered in faraway Washington, D.C. You see that heavenly body in the picture swooping toward our planet and landed in Siberia. What happened? Shock waves traveled all around the world. The permafrost was melted in a few seconds so deep it caused flooding. Trees were blasted, burnt, scattered for miles as a great circle out from the center of whatever it was exploded. People were knocked down 40 miles away. The shirt clothing burnt off their back. Many herds of animals, reindeers, were destroyed. Terrible, thunderous explosion. And these trees shattered, burnt. Friends, what worries the scientists today, even though they haven't figured out what it was? If it happened once, it can happen again. And of all places, God dropped it in Russia's backyard. Because the same thing is going to happen when she comes down to wipe out Israel. So listen carefully. What happened to Sennacherib? Sores broke out on reindeers and other animals afterwards. There have been many speculations of what this was. One of them that seems to be most accepted is that it was a comet. And skeptics who doubt the theory of a comet and doubt that an object that large could cause the Tunguska event and would have been invisible, their doubt was expelled by a demonstration in 1976 when an asteroid passed the Earth at a distance of 625,000 miles. And I just wiped my brow. We just missed it. Avoiding a direct repetition of the Tunguska event by only a few hours. The authorities said the asteroid would not have been visible to the naked eye until 25 minutes before impact. That's how much warning. Now, Roger will be sharing later tonight what scientists know is threatening our planet. The amazing thing is, since that explosion, vegetation has grown 10 to 12 times more lush, and the last record I read, 100 times more lush. Now, what a place to grow in Siberia. Vegetation growing 100 times more lush than that growth in Siberia. Listen, when God fertilizes his lawn, he does a tremendous job. Dr. Gaberlock, who is present here, and a very dear friend of mine, who is concerned about these things, he will understand when I say this. After all the devastation of the Great Tribulation, this could be one of the factors of the tremendous growth, even on the mountaintops. Now, there will be other factors, but listen, that has happened. Now, the reason I read that happened in 1908. We're going to read in Isaiah. You would think you were reading out of that Reader's Digest, and my copy, page after page, is underlined and interrelated with scripture references because that Reader's Digest used exactly the same words as are described in Isaiah when it is talking about Isaiah's prediction of the destruction of Sennacherib's army. Let me read you from chapter 10 of Isaiah, verse 16 to 21. I'll read it from the paraphrase rendering. Because of your evil boasting, and you've got two chapters of that, terrible letters and blaspheming he sent, O king of Assyria, the Lord of hosts will send a plague among your proud troops, strike them down. God, the light and holy one of Israel, will destroy them. Listen, in a single night he will burn those thorns and briars. Did you see the picture in Danaska? Not trees, but soldiers this time. He will burn them as briars. The Assyrians who destroyed the land of Israel, Assyria's vast army, and it was 185,000, is like a glorious forest, yet it will be destroyed. The Lord will destroy them, soul and body, as when a sick man wastes away. Only a few from all that mighty army will be left, so few a child could count them. Then the Holy One of Israel, instead of fearing the Assyrians, a remnant of them will return to the mighty God. He will preserve some out of that terrible catastrophe. And you who call yourselves scholars of the scripture, I challenge you to go back and read again Isaiah and read it literally what happened in 800 BC. Verse 13, they come from a far country, the end of the earth. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the land. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord, there are many of them in the Bible, is one of these fiery destructions. And then it talks about men's hearts failing, holding onto their loins and their faces pale as they behold the things coming. Why? Verse 10, the stars of heaven, the constellation them, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going down. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world. Do you notice? It is a global happening. Verse 13. I will shake the heavens. That's where it starts. And the earth, look at my hand, shall be moved out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And remember, the calendars were changed from a 360-day year to a 365-day year all over the world. Look at chapter 24. Behold, he maketh the earth empty, verse 1. The earth, he maketh it waste. He turneth, look at my hand, he turneth it upside down. And that is recorded in ancient history. The sun came up on the east. And a heavenly body coming near the earth, I heard scientists debate with Velikovsky. That's one thing they didn't debate. It wouldn't take a very large body to flip the poles. Verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied, spoiled. The earth, it's global, mourneth, fadeth away. The world language. The haughty people of the earth do language. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants because they have changed the ordinance and they have broken the everlasting covenant. That isn't just the Ten Commandments. That is the laws of the universe that are coded in man's heart. This is why God would visit the earth in 800 BC. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. May I remind you, this is recorded in many countries all over the world as happening in 800 BC. Verse 17, fear in the pit and the snare. Snare, if you look at Psalm 11 and verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and a horrible tempest. So it's fiery. He will rain that fear in the pit. The pit is the land opens. And snares, fire, O inhabitants of the earth. It come to pass, he that flees from the noise of the fear, terrible explosions, shall fall into the pit. He that gets out of the midst of the pit, he's going to be caught in the snares. Why? For the windows of heaven are open and the foundations of the earth shake. Windows of heaven are connected with fiery brimstone snares. And the earth shaking at the same time. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is clean dissolved. It staggers to and fro like a drunkard. And you know, with a heavenly body coming near. And notice verse 21. It'll come to pass in that day the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones on high. And the kings that are upon the earth, because the high ones on high are manipulating the kings of the earth. The new, another rendering has, he will visit the fallen angels in heaven connected with the kings that are upon the earth. And friends, you saw what happened to Mars. And the Bible talks about hosts. And you don't know whether he's talking about a planet or living entities or is it both. And he said, at the same time, it'll devastate you. And you're going to be gathered together as prisoners and you're going to be put in the pit. And you're going to be shut up in the prison, and after many days you're going to be judged and visited, and we are going to judge them. And those angelic, fallen, demonic beings that were controlling the world at that time, many of them were incarcerated, and they are waiting judgment now. That's what the New Testament teaches us. In chapter 28, verse 21, the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim and shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. Like what happened in Joshua's long day. He said, that's what it'll be like. In chapter 29, moreover, in verse 5, the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. It shall be an instant, and I'll give some sound effects, suddenly. And you're going to be visited of the Lord with thunder, earthquake, great noise, storm, tempest, and flames of devouring fire. And then God made a prediction in verse 7 and 8. The multitude of all nations that fight against Israel, and all that fight against her and her munitions and that distress her, shall be as a dream in the night. In the latter parts of verse 8, so shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Whoever tries to wipe Israel out in any period in the future, he said they will be destroyed like this. In chapter 38, it says just before the events of chapter 7 happened, in those days, that's one of the renderings. You remember Hezekiah took sick? And he was going to die? And then God gave him 15 more years? And he said, I want a promise. He said, I'll give you a sign. Do you want the sun to go ahead or go back? He said, it goes ahead, let it go back. And you read that record in chapter 38. And as the sun came up in the morning, casting a shadow on the stairway of Azel, the sundial. And as the sun rose, the shadow was going down the step. Suddenly, it shot back 10 degrees. Do you remember the other records of history? As the sun came up in the morning, it suddenly shot back below the horizon. And God tells about it in his book. And then chapter 37 tells you how the great angel came. God said in verse 35, I will defend the city for my name's sake. And the angel of the Lord in verse 36 went forth and smote the camp of the Syrians, 185,000, were wiped out, burnt in an instant by a blast. And only a handful were left. And Sennacherib was one of them. And he was badly burnt, according to the records of Josephus. And as the Bible predicted, he went back home, his army gone, his chariot burnt, and he was assassinated. Beloved, that's how God dealt with invading armies that sought to wipe out Israel.